Today's share in the Dear Shir Mishneh Berurah Yomi program is Daf Pei Beis Amud Beis. We're in the sixth volume of Mishneh Berurah, and we're going to finish off Be'ezus Hashem, the beautiful Siman Tov Reish Chaf Aleph, and start Tov Reish Chaf Beis. We begin on the very top line of Pei Beis Amud Beis with Sif Gimel. The Mechaber writes, Mevorchin al Hamila below Kos. When there's a Bris Mila on Yom Kippur, you don't make a Kos of Bari Priya Gofen. That is the Mechaber's position. However, the Ramah brings down the Yeshomim, the Mevorchim Kos. The Ramah says that the custom is that we do in fact take a kos. Obviously, the people involved cannot drink from the kos. The person who normally would drink from it is the one who says the brachos. Shekidashi did be beten, and he makes the bar priya gofen. He would normally drink from it. He obviously can't, and therefore we give it to the baby to drink. We'll see if the mother, the oledis, is around and she's obligated to still drink. If she's allowed to eat, not required to fast. It's day eight, so most of them are already going to be fasting. So he says in this situation, you give it to the tinok or possibly the mother if she's around, the chay noag. And the Ramah says this is the minhag, and that is the common practice, at least amongst Ashkenazic Jews. The Mishneh Berurah says in Siv Kotten Yud Aleph, Rosh Shalom, what the Mechaber is telling us here is, the Mevarach Rak Birchas Asher Kidash Yedid Mibetet. You don't say the bracha Bar Priya Gofen. Now the law of bracha Shalakos. Because the person who makes that bracha is always supposed to drink the Yevshab Yom Kippur, and of course you can't drink on Yom Kippur. Dishavut number 10 brings down there are differences between this din and the din on Tisha B'Av, Ayin Shom and Dishavut number 10, which we discussed these dinim in the past. Then the Mishnah continues and he says, V'litein latinokos lishtos gamkein ein kedai. So why don't we give it to young children to go and drink? So shouldn't be a problem. They're not chayiv to fast. So the Gemara says, D'chayshinim dum osi l'misrach ayidezeh lishtos tomim Yom Kippurim. They're going to get accustomed to always drinking on Yom Kippur, and they're going to continue to drink on Yom Kippur even after they get older. They say, oh, I drank at this bris mila, so it must be okay to drink. V'rashay limtzos hadam kidako b'chol. And he says that you do the mitzitzas hadam the same way you do it on a weekday. V'anogim limtzos b'yayin lo yizalfu b'peh. And those that had the custom that they would drink some wine when they would do this, so they wouldn't do this with their mouths. V'lo b'moch, and not with some sort of a sponge. Mishum chashash slit, because you may go and squeeze it out. And that would be, of course, a prohibition that wouldn't be allowed in Yom Kippur. So Raki Zalfu Biyad Levad. So then they would just go sprinkle the wine on its own from their hands. And this is brought down by the Mati Afrai. So you wouldn't do it through actual metzitza. You wouldn't suck in the wine and then spit it out. And you wouldn't go and do it with a sponge, but you would do it with your hand if you had that custom. Again, I'm not aware that people are sprinkling wine at our brisim today. Maybe there are those that do, but that's not a common custom that I've seen. Since we're talking about Bris Mila, it gives me tremendous shevach ve'odah to announce to the wonderful people listening that I had the schus today in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh to have a bris of a grandson. His name is Yosef Shalom, and Baruch Hashem, tremendous shevach ve'odah that we're able to be here, to be able to be by this beautiful bris bizmana, to my son, Rabbi Cheskel Shraga, and mitzvah Hashem, my bracha to everybody is that we should all be able to be begadol our children, l'Torah, l'chupa, u'lamasim tovim. Now, Mishneh Berurah Siv Kotten Yud Beis tells us that Ramah said the custom is to bring a kos and on Yom Kippur to have a kos and you give it to the rachanimo, the child that just got the bris mila, you put a little bit in his mouth. There's a very well-known custom that you put a little of the wine in the baby's mouth when you say b'damayachayi. You give the baby a little bit. So too, you also give him for the bar priya gofen. Otherwise, the kos is not being used, and it's a ginai for the kos. It brings down the name of the Mogen Avraham. The issue footnote number 12 brings down shekol dover shetzarich kos tzarich lishtos imenu kamov lugmav. You're putting a little bit in the baby's mouth. This little 8-day-old baby isn't having a malo lugmav's worth. So how do you do this? How does it accomplish anything? So he brings out from the Taz, she calls it davka kishetzarech kos midivrei ha-gemara. That's when you need a kos based upon a din in the gemara. Avokan, a time shetzarech kos, the reason here we have a kos, is rach kivan she'ein omrim shira lo yayin, because we want to sing praises to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. We do that like kos shel yayin. Therefore, it's maspik shiyitom kos. It's enough he has a little bit. Furthermore, he says, why do we give this little baby to drink? Afshelin Kiddush, the Vesa Knesses, Be'el Shabbos, we say, Shemitian Lekotish, Logia Lechinoch, Tia Brocha Brocha Samavarch, Lobatola. And on Friday night, when they make Kiddush in Shul, you should be daf give it to a child that understands what a bracha is. You don't give it to an 8-day-old baby. So it brings down from the Morgan Avram, Shemikomokom bebris milo, kivin shabracha hi avur hatinok atzmo. Because the whole bracha is because of this child. The Friday night ensures for the adults. So if you give it to a baby, that's not going to do it. But here, this bris milah is because of this little child. So it's adequate that the katan himself should drink it. By the way, dish of food number 11 has a very interesting idea when we're dealing with metzitza bepeh, mamish, so then there's potential, at least in theory, for infection, both from the moil to the baby or from the baby to the moil. So he says, if the moil wants to rinse his mouth out when he's doing a bris milah in order to prevent the baby from getting a potential infection, so Rav Yashiv Zatzal. Now, Rav Yashiv's name is Rav Yosef Shalom Yashiv. So when my son named the baby, he also alluded to the idea that the name Rav Yosef Shalom is Rav Yashiv Zatzal's name. So it's named really for my father, but the Shalom aspect he used for the name of Rav Yosef Shalom Yashiv as well. So therefore, it's Kedai, very Kedai for me to say over din in his name. So he says, Rav Yashiv Zatzal, brought down in the Nite Gavriel, Shemutel Olishtof Rak B'chomer Mar Shimbotam. You should use something bitter that doesn't have a good taste to it, but the moil is allowed to rinse out his mouth to prevent infection from occurring. He says, after the bris milah, however, if the moil wants to go and rinse out his mouth from any blood that may be there from doing the Metzitza B'peh Ma'amish, so then Rabbi Yosef Shalom Yashiv Zatzal said that would be forbidden. Then the Mishmur continues and he says, if you're doing the bris milah and the mother of the baby is there, vayoledes chola, and she is in the category of a chola, again, it's not automatic because it's after 7 days, but if she's in the category of a chola between the day 7 and day 30, it's a binyan shumuteres lechol, and she's allowed to eat, so then, yocholotzia, then bring her out, v'gam yomer lo, shetechavi lo sesbevil choso v'sish nebimeno, she should listen to the bar priya gof and have in mind that that bracha is going to be for her, and then she can drink, and that's perfectly acceptable as well. Sif dalet, the mechaber writes, b'musuf, at the time of davening musuf, omer shalech tzibor, seder avoda, during musuf, as opposed to during shachris, the chazan goes through the entire wonderful Seder Avodah. Those who are doing the Daf Yomi, we're learning all of this right now in the Daf Yomi. Can I invite people to listen to my Daf Yomi if they wish to? It's found on YU Torah. The Mishnah Berurah is found on OU Torah, and the Daf Yomi is found on YU Torah. In any event, we say it in Musaf and not during Shachar. So Mishnah Berurah explains Sivkot Yud Gimel, the Ikra Avodah Shel Kohen Gadol Hoy B'Musaf. It was in the afternoon because Shachar is Keneged the Torah B'Tomit Shel Shachar. And we fulfill the great words when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash today. Should be rebuilt. So by saying all of the avodos that would have been done, all the korbanos that would have been done, as if we fulfilled them by saying them, so therefore we say it during the Tefillah of Musaf. The Ramah continues and he says, the minhag is that everybody falls down on their faces when we say the words Makonim v'Om, Noflam al Pneim. And he says, also, the minhag is Gam b'Aleinu l'Shabach, during Aleinu, when we say V'nachlu kor mishtachvim, the whole tzibur goes down. Avol shliach tzibur, also la'akra mimkomo b'shas ha'tfila. But surprisingly to many people, the Ramah says, the chaz shouldn't go down, because he's not allowed to move his feet. We're listening, we're in the Chazara Sashat, so we can move our feet, but the Chazan can't. So therefore, the Chazan can't go and move his feet. So he doesn't go down according to Ramah. We'll see in a moment that the minhag in most places the Chazan does. We'll explain that in Mishnah Berurah. But the Ramah's opinion is that the Chazan doesn't do the Korim Mishtachavim, the Konim V'Om. When they say the Shem V'Kodesh Baruch Hu, everybody goes down, so the Chazan doesn't do so. Because he's also lakol mimkom b'shas tefillah during the Shmoneh Esrei, can he pull up on him? But how can he go down? Yeshlim chos b'yad also can. And he goes so far as to say to Ramah that you have to protest if the chazan does this. Nu, what is that going to do for us? I would dare say every single shul has the chazan going down. So the Mishmur will explain in a second. Let's first look at Sivkot and Yudalid. It says the minhag is to fall down on your faces. He says, "Ayin etzim kuflav and aleph." The eshli shtateach asov l'aritz. You don't fall down on the plain floor itself, but you fall on some sort of a mat of grass that they would put down, not to be on the dirt floor or the rock floor itself. You should also lishtoch apov l'aritzba, because you can't put your face directly down on the ritzba. Or alternatively, oyochetz b'taliso. If you don't have something there, so put the talis between your face and the floor, and that would be adequate as well. Dirsha footnote number 14 brings down, if you're still saying piyutim and the tzibur is ready to go and fall on their faces, so the Mati Ephraim brings down, stop your piyutim and fall down on the floor with the rest of the tzibur. It's similar to modem. If the tzibur is bound down for modem, you should be bound down for modem as well. No, he says, every tzibur today also has the chas of doing this. He brings down for the shelos shuvas levushi Mordechai, shekivin shein zechiv, elarak muzeichem, asho yo beveis amigdo, shakohanim, v'omu yu mishtachavim, ein ashler tzibur tzorech l'chroa, b'shovim atzibur. This explains the Ramah. The Ramah says, listen, he can't be moving his legs, so therefore, he doesn't have to do it. And the Mati Ephraim seems to suggest from this that the Shliach Tzibur does go down. He doesn't understand why that is the opinion. The Lushim Mordechai seems to say that that isn't the custom. He brings out from the Marshag that says, based upon the Mati Ephraim, that he wasn't writing this about the Shliach Tzibur. He's talking about the individual that it wasn't up to that place. But no, Mati Ephraim also agrees with the Ramah that the Shliach Tzibur doesn't have to bow down. But he himself says that, no, the Shliach Tzibur should bow down, and this is the opinion of the Binyan Shlomo as well, in the name of his brother, that the Chazan should go down. And again, Rav Yosef Shalom El Yashiv Zatzal says, Sha'af Sha'aminov L'chro, called him a Shliach Tzibur. That the minig is that the Tzibur does it first and only afterwards does the Chazan, but he says that the Chazan does it at the same time, Nishkefeloch. But he says, "Ein roi shechelik me'atzibu yichru ma'shliach tzibu v'chelik yichru lufanav." He says the whole tzibu should go down at the same time and not have half one way, half the other way. But that would be a potential problem of losis godadu. You can't have separate customs in the same shul. The issue number 15 brings down, what about if you have carpeting in the shul? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman Zatzal says, "Shenir shemikor adin mutu l'shtachavos al gabov." That would be fine. However, he says the meaning is to be machmir even in this situation and put out some sort of a mat on top of the carpeting. He brings down other situations, if it's there for beauty purposes, other situations, I and the rest of this footnote, whether you have to. The issue number 16 brings down that the ikar hefsik between you and the ground is by your face. He brings it down from the Mati Ephraim, Shirkliyos ben haponim lekarka, this separation, and likewise is brought down in the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. And we go to Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Tes Vav, that says you're supposed to protest if the chazan goes down, the Hari Shanina, because we learned, apilu nochosh korach lakevo, even if a snake, it's not pikuach nefashos, wraps yourself around your ankles, your heels, lo yafsik. You don't go and interrupt your shmon esrei. Siv katan tezayin, biyada osum kim, you have to protest that people do this. So, no, what's the minog today that, as I said, the chazan does go down? Abu kvar posha ta minog, the Mishnah Berurah says, shagam ha-shliach tzibur osik kein, that the shliach tzibur does this as well. V'nira shehem somchim da halicha lo mikri hefsik, because a physical movement with your feet together isn't considered hefsik, and this word not even the taz. The Koeis Poshad Aminik Shnos them Od Shtender Lefonim. They have a double Shtender. They have the Bima, and then they put a Shtender in front of him. They remove the Shtender, and this way he can go down. And he keeps his feet together, and somebody assists him. Obavod Masalkun So a Shtender. They move that Shtender away. They Okaragil, but he doesn't move his legs. This brought down Priti Mugadim to explain Achazonim today. The issue foot number 17 brings down. If the Shliach Tzibur cannot do so because he's too old, so then Rav Yosef Shalom El Yashiv Zatzal brings down Shochel Espal of Kuroko. Then he can daven in the regular way without going down. Somebody else should say that part out loud. Not because somebody else has to say it. Ela Bishvil Hasei Deratov. It makes things go more fluidly. Tishavu number 80 brings down, Vim lo nasu l'fnei ha-shliach tzibur shtender. No, so if they don't have a separate shtender over there, v'ein lo efsharus l'chroa, elam kem yozuz min koma, and he won't be able to go and bow down without being moved from that place. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita says, yesh l'smoch al ha-taz, and now you can rely upon the taz, as long as he keeps his feet together, moving him is not a problem. It's not considered a hefsek. Sifhei, the Mechaber writes, Seder Avidui, the order of the Vidui is, Chotosi Ovisi Pashati. Those that are doing the Daf Yomi know there's a famous machlokes between Reb Meir and the Chachamim. Reb Meir says that the girsa is Nosi Ovon Vofesha Vechatov Inakei, based upon the Psukim from Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore the order is Nosi Ovon, so you say Ovisi, Pesha Pashati, and then Chatos Chotosi. So he switches the gears around. So the Mechaber Paskins like the opinion of the Chachamim that we say Chotosi Ovisi Pashati. The Mishnah Berurah explains Sivkot Yud Zayin. Chet means shogeg, it's an unintentional sin. Ovon means made it an intentional sin, but not out of rebelliousness, but out of just, you can't prevent yourself from doing it because of your desires. And pesha means merit. It means you're willfully going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahachis, to anger him. You have to start off with a lesser one, the chait, then go to the oven, then go to the pesha. That's the order that we passing like the Chachamim's opinion in the Gemara. The Gemara actually says that we passing like the Chachamim, and they asked, well, normally, of course, we passing like Yochid Rabim, of course, you passing like the Rabim. They said, Taka Rebbeir has a posuk, and also off of a pesha, a chatov, and a chait. So therefore, you might have thought that we should passing like Rebbeir for the various reasons. The Gemara says we end up passing like the Chachamim, and that's the gersa that we have based upon the Mechaber. There was a very big custom to go and give money for the people Nebuch that passed away. We say Yiskor Yom Kippur, so you donate money la'ad haskaras nishmosam, u'maskirim nishmosayim, and we say Yiskor. The reasoning is that Mason gam ken yeshlem kapar b'yom kippurim. He brings up the Mordechai that even the people that are Nebuch no longer in this world, the olam ha'emes, nevertheless Yom Kippur can be a kapar for them as well. Let's understand this. First, through the Mishnah Berurah Siv Katan. Yudches, l'chei nikra Yom HaKippurim. Why do we call it Yom Kippur? We call it Yom HaKippurim. B'loshim Rabim, Rotsu Lomar, l'chayim v'lameisim. For example, from Revile, that this is for both the chayim and the meisim, that it's a Yom Kippur. See, according to your test, the Mishnah Berurah says, kishinodrim avurim, we give money to tzedakah on behalf of the people of Nebuch that have passed away. That meaning, ilu yachai, if this person would be alive, you know, he certainly would want to give tzedakah. And even if he was a poor person, if he was a pure of heart, he would have wanted to give even though he couldn't. That wouldn't be true for a Russia, because you can't say that. However, but if this Russia did some sort of a tshuva, he did a vida before his death, then then it's acceptable to do this on his behalf. And certainly, it makes sense. If a child is doing it for the father, even if the father, Rachmon al-San, did not do any sort of a vidu or tshuva before his death, that will definitely help the father, who's in the Olam HaEmes, that a child has the ability to go and bring an atonement and do a zechus for his father. The issue footnote number 19 brings down that this order of chatosi avisi pashati is throughout the davening, albeit he brings down certain exceptions, ayin shon in the issue footnote number 19. The issue footnote number 20 has many wonderful dinim of yiskor. I'm dictating this after Matzei Shavuos, and we said yiskor today. These dinim are very, very appropriate for a person to learn and understand. I'll rush through them very quickly in the issue footnote number 20. So he says, besides yiskor, you also say kelmali rachamim. He says, it's also the question whether you can say yiskor for a child that's under the age of 13. So he says, yes, you can. He says, you can also say yiskor for a rebbe, even though he's not a relative. He says that people that Baruch Hashem, both their parents are alive, the minhag is to go outside of the shul. It brings up the Shari Ephraim and the Gesher Achaim, Shim Kulam Yomru, Vehem Yishtiku, because everybody's saying yiskor, and they're quiet. It looks like there's two separate customs in the shul. Most of the to do is a problem. Also, because you're about an Ayin Hara, people are going to look at you and say, hey, he's not saying anything. Oh, his parents are alive, and that could lead to Chas V'Shalom and Ayin Hara. And the Aruch HaSchaim says, you may forget yourself and say Yisker, and it's a bris krusa l'svasayim. It's as if you're saying Yisker for your parents, and they're alive, but Nebuch, that could lead them to die. Then there's a whole discussion in the first year, Rachmana L'Tzan, a person loses a father or mother, should they stay in for Yisker or not? So he brings down different opinions, and the bottom line is that if it's not going to cause you to become distraught, so then the more correct approach is that you should stay in, and either say the Yisker, or at least stay in and not say the Yisker, but if you're not going to become distraught, you can really say the Yisker. It brings down, ideally, you should try to say Yisker with a minion, but the halacha is, you're allowed to say Yisker b'yichidus as well. And there's the opinion of Yashiv Zatzal. It brings down, Shalachain isha she'eni yichol lovel lebeis ha'knesses, labirus Yisker. If a woman can't get to shul, she has little kids. Nebuch, she lost one of her parents. So, tomar b'beis ha'yichidus, she's allowed to say it at home by herself. Dishavu number 21 brings down that when you're giving the tzedakah, you're saying Yemitz Hashem, b'lined, you're going to give tzedakah, you should try to do it right away so you don't forget. And he says, he brings down the custom of some people that this minute Yontif was over, they would go and give their pledge to tzedakah. This concludes the beautiful Siman Tov Reish Chaf Aleph. We'll start quickly, Tov Reish Chaf Beis, which deals with Mincha. The Mechaber starts, Sif Aleph, the Mincha Omer Ashri Vol Tzion. We start off Mincha by saying Ashri Vol Tzion, which of course we do not do, as we'll see in a second. Then Omer Manis Filosi, we don't say Anis Filosi, Afilim Cholios B'Shabbos, even when it's on Shabbos. Mishabur explains Sif Kodin Aleph, Kedei Lahafsik Bein Tilas Musaf L'Tilas HaMincha, so there should be a separation between Musaf and Mincha, so you say Ashri. The issue footnote number one points out that we also say L'David, Hashem Ari V'Yishi, on Yom Kippur as well. Mishnah Berurah Sukkot and Bay says, even if it comes out on Shabbos, we don't say a Nisvil Asi. He says, Shabbos, we say this for Shevach Lekai Yisrael. Even though we ate and drank, we still daven. As opposed to Lokum was all over, they eat and drink, they don't end up davening. We have a Kippur in circles, they're different in Yom Kippur. When we don't eat and drink, it's not necessary. The Ramah quickly says, we don't say Ashrei before Mincha. We'll discuss why in Mi'at Hashem tomorrow, but this will conclude today's shir.